Here, the old gods are dead.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hiya, this is a Creepy Wee Podcast. I'm Bert, that's Ernie.
I like that you took a pause to think about what you were going to say, and I thought you were just thinking, but no, you were like, what's a bit I can do? What's a bit? Have you ever been bullied? I don't know, you seem like you're very obviously like women loving women from a very young age.
Oh yeah. I went to school in Fives, so they're like, if I ever got in an argument with somebody, I was like, give them 5 minutes of getting their arse handed to them and they're going to call me a dyke. To be fair, like, it wasn't like bullying, it was like I would get into arguments with other people and then eventually like that word would get tossed in.
Yeah, I would start it and then I'd be like, oh my god, I can't believe you just hate crime to me when I called you Specky for 5 minutes.
Properly bullied? I don't think so, nah. Yeah. I don't see that for me.
Yeah, no, me neither.
Probably knew behind my back because I've got a podcast. It is free game.
Yeah, and we started it in the most like typical and annoying and ugly way. I was thinking about that earlier too. Like, we were at a party and we were like, oh my god, let's share our artistic interests and then decide that we like the same things and we should start a podcast. We're so good at this. And then like the name gives like people good material to work with too. The Specky Wee Podcast, the Corny Wee Podcast, the Stupid Wee Podcast. It's all like, it's very easy to make fun of us. So.
Send in the best parody name of this podcast. I want to hear it.
Yeah. And if you go in hard, we'll block you, but it's fine. Like, it was worth it. You won. If that's the case, you won.
But okay, I actually hate this podcast. So, like, I've got a brilliant one. Pishy Wee Podcast.
The Pishy Wee Podcast. Sometimes it feels like that. No, it doesn't, actually. We hit out the park every time. I don't care.
Oh, yeah. Sorry we're late. Because as you can remember, if you regularly listen to this, I was like, oh my god, we have a new recording schedule. This is totally going to work. We're never going to be late. Actually, I said, didn't hold us accountable. But we went to see Carly Rae Jepsen last Wednesday, which is when we would normally record on our new schedule. So, obviously.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, I was like, because we were busy.
I was like, I thought I was hungover, but then it lasted till Sunday and I had the horrible stomach cramps. I thought I'd like somehow magically started having a period, like some Virgin Mary reversal world shit. And then I went to work and one of the people I work with, she was explaining how she had similar symptoms, and then my boyfriend had the exact same symptoms at the same time as me. It was really creepy. And then I was like, maybe, because like one of the initial COVID symptoms was like stomach upset, like cramps and stuff, and I was like, have I had COVID again?
For the sixth time. It would be very you if that was the case. It would be very you.
Yeah, but I'm so like I'm not dirty. I'm like quite hygienic. I don't know how I keep getting sick. But I use public transport a lot.
No way.
Like a lot. I don't drive, so. Do you have a favourite animal?
No more ins or outs. We're getting back to basics. What's your favourite colour? No, I do. Liam did text me earlier. Was it yesterday? Or yeah, like maybe earlier in the week.
And yeah, you were like, what's your three favourite animals? But like not dogs or cats, because that's like obvious. Like, yes.
And don't tell me now. Save this content. Well, I have noticed that all my animals are tiny. Right, we'll go biggest to weirdest, I think, is like the good idea here. So my favourite animal, this is very Kristen Bellamy me, is sloths. Because anytime I watch a video of a baby sloth getting like a bath or that, like I will cry.
Oh yeah, because they are so like happy looking as well.
Like, if you are feeling shit right now, like a cure all would to be go onto YouTube and watch baby sloths getting bathed.
I will do that later on.
And then the middle animal is otters.
Of course.
Of course, otters.
Wait, are otters bigger than sloths? Are you going biggest to weest?
I'm going biggest to weest.
All right, okay.
So otters in the middle. No reason. I like it when they hold hands.
Oh, yeah. And, like, I like that they use tools.
Yeah, they kind of are like the raccoon near the water with their wee hands.
But, like...
Love raccoons, too.
Less honorable rabies, mention. I think. Honorable mention.
And then, last, because I am a bird watcher.
Of course. Of course.
Is a robin. Robins are my favourite little birdies.
Okay,
I like collared doves as well. I can actually like my girlfriend can attest to this. I know different birds from their tweets, and I know like the coo of a pigeon different from a collared dove because they sound really similar, but there is a difference. The Autistic Wee Podcast.
Yeah. The same name just came to me, actually. Oh my god. Like, not to call you weird for being interested in things, but
bro, like, please, you hit 24 and you just actually get really interested in bird watching.
I have, like,
I think in another life I was, like, the bird man of Alcatraz.
Oh my god. You're a little crazy. You're a little weird.
I am. I'm like Herfy and Home Alone too.
You're really like Bella from Twilight, not because of the bird watching, because you're like an old man, but like in a little girl's body.
Oh yeah, I tell Liam that, like, I'm like, what was it? I texted you a few weeks ago. I was like, oh, I'm not going to play badminton tonight. I'm going to play darts, and you were like, you're a fucking old man.
Like, to be fair, like, you live a very rich, like, enjoyable life. Like, you do fun things that are not, like, with the typical urban flow or whatever, but...
I'm living my wee farmer life out here in Funky.
You're living your Unabomber in a shack lifestyle. And I love that for you. Oh, on the topic of old men, I had steak pie and chips for dinner, and so did you. I just think that's a fun fact. We are old men.
Aye, we are literally old men. I was like, should I crack open my tin whilst I eat my, like, Greg's steak pie for Iceland?
I had a glass of milk.
Covered in brown sauce and nae veg was present on the plate. I've actually got a picture of it. I sent it to my girlfriend and I was on the phone to her and she just went, that looks really nice. I was like, thanks. It looks shit.
I love how supportive she is. Like, I will say the most left-field thing around her, and she'll be like, that sounds really good.
Tell she works with youth. She hears, like, the most picture. Demented things ever at her work, and she's like, that's great.
Honourable mention to her as, like, favourite animal. But, yeah, when I was eating the steak pie, do you know that picture of Greta... What's the climate girl?
Greta Thunberg.
Yeah. Have you seen the edited picture of her? And then the caption with it is, love me chips, love me crisps, ate climate change, simple as. It literally, like, I can't, like, whenever I do something that's slightly, like, old man coded, I think of that picture. And it will be on the Instagram if I can find it.
I mean, it speaks to me on a very high level, actually. I do love me chips and hate climate change.
Yeah. So my favourite animals, let's get into it. So I told Rebecca, don't send me yours. But then I was making the list of my ones in our text chat and then accidentally sent them. But okay, I'll go from smallest to biggest. So my one of my favourite animals are foxes. I love them because they're like playful and mischievous. And I think they just have like a very like rich inner world. Like there's something going on there. They just understand things.
Fox and the Hound. Did you like that as a child?
I did. Well, actually, it kind of made me sad. It's kind of a sad film.
It's fucking depressing. I used to watch it quite a lot, though. That'll be why I listen to, like, Lana Del Rey.
There is a pipeline to that, actually.
As a child, I actually wanted to suffer, so I would put my tapey Fox and the Hound on.
I am now thinking I did the same thing.
Need to feel something real quick. Need to clear my head.
It's like when you become like sentient before you're supposed to, like too young.
That clip, little copper sitting in the middle of the road as old woman drove away. A horrible time for consciousness to start, I will say. Really, one of the nails in my coffin.
My God. So there used to be a fox in Townhead in Glasgow. We called it the Townhead Fox. And I would always see it when I was going back to my flat from my friends. And like, it was so pettable. Like, I'm so serious. I swear it would have let me pet it. But it didn't.
A memory just came back to me. When I was in Dublin, my sister and one of my pals went back to the Airbnb. And me and another pal stayed out. And we went like the Temple Bar area where we were living and went like across the city to another bar, and we got so drunk and decided to walk back instead of getting like an Uber. And the way back for this bar, it was like a half an hour walk. The entire walk back, a fox was chasing us, and we just ran straight like across Dublin.
Chasing. They'd only run away. Like it was hunting.
No, this thing was like, it either like wanted something that we had. Like a
it could smell your anemia. It knew you were weak. It said, I like my odds.
Well, my anemia would have been put to bed that night because I think I drank like 20 pints of Guinness. Like, no joke. And it just seemed me vulnerable because I couldn't walk. But I could run, I'll tell you that. But I think at one point, like, either me or my pal, like, had to pee. So, like, we went to, like, an alleyway and, like, pissed, and we thought we had lost it, and I know it was me. I was peeing and like white girl wasted, like really bad, and we were in this alleyway and then up comes the fox and we had nowhere to go. I was like, oh fuck.
Not you running through the streets like
with a fox at the back of me. No, it was exactly like that,
like the Scooby-Doo doors, and you go through one and then come out another one.
Aye, and the fox
and
is at the other one.
You, and then you bump into each other.
Well, that was what it was like when I was scanned.
It was probably like a plastic bag or something. You were just real fucked up.
You're right. What's your other favourite animal?
Okay, the middle animal. Well, kind of the middle animal. Yeah, the middle animal, because the next one is, it's impossible to be bigger. Sharks. I love sharks. I got a lot of, wow, we're really the Autistic Wee podcast today. When I was little, I used to love, like, Shark Week sort of, like, TV, like, worst shark deaths. And I would never be mad at the shark. I loved it. And I really like great white sharks, obviously. But I love a tiger shark. I think they're really cunty. Hammerheads. Now, that's diversity.
Oldest animals on the planet? No. Is it, like, crocodiles and then sharks? One of them's older than dinosaurs.
Yeah. They mind their business. And they stay winning.
Right, last favorite animal.
Blue whales.
Yeah.
They're
you're right.
So majestic. They're so beautiful.
I would love to see a whale.
I love their song. There's that video going around on Twitter right now, and the guy's in the water, and then he puts the camera under the water, and you can't see any whales, but you can hear them. And everyone's talking about how, like, terrifying it is, and I'm like, that's how I want to die. Like, I want to, like, just be put to sea and just, like, hear the whale noises, and then, like, sniper rifle from the, like, helicopter or something just takes me out. Like, headshot.
Like, okay, I thought you said that you wanted to be, I thought you were going to go away, I want to be killed by a blue whale. And I was like, it's extremely rare for that to happen.
No.
More likely that somebody would actually just fall for the sky and shoot you with a sniper rifle.
Yeah, so, like, I would rather that. Like, running from the government or something. And then that's where I, like, end it.
Into the arms of the whale.
In the arms of an angel.
Speaking of special interests, there's been new news about Mary Queen of Scots, so I'm dragging news all in the Mary Queen of Scots pipeline once again.
Wait, this is actually, like, new information?
Yeah, like, new, like, last week new, which is why I changed, because we were meant to be doing our episode on something else, but I changed, like, real quick, wrote a new episode, so we'll take a wee break and we'll talk about Mary Queen of Scots again.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
So how much do you actually ken about Mary Queen of Scots and her codes?
Like, I know that she was, like, very talented at shorthand and people struggle to figure out her note-taking. That's about as much as I know. Like, she was very intelligent. Basically, she, or like just crazy, one of the two.
Bit of both, I think. Well, codes and ciphers have been used as secret communication by politicians, religious leaders, and royalty throughout history. I think a modern example of a royal code that we all might ken would be the one used by Queen Elizabeth II and then her consort, Prince Philip. They were both known as different kinds of bridges. So, Prince Philip was known as the Fourth Bridge and the Queen was London Bridge. Oh. You know, like when she was going to die, they had this whole plan called London Bridge is Falling. That's a royal code. So I think that would be like familiar to most
when
people.
When Fergie had the song London Bridge.
She was singing about
London
the Queen.
Bridge is going down, like London, 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 it's going down. Like.
So, Mary Queen of Scots used French ciphers to communicate during her 19-year imprisonment in England. Do we need a refresher?
Yes.
Yes. So,
do the supercut.
If you haven't listened to our series on Mary Queen of Scots, please go back and listen. But basically, I'm going to pick up after her fleeing Scotland into England after she's abdicated the throne in favour of her son, James. After Mary was forced to abdicate by the Scottish lords, she fled to England, hoping that her cousin, Queen Elizabeth I, would help her regain the throne in Scotland. There were just a couple of issues with this, however. Firstly, Mary was very much thought to be guilty, or at least implicated, in the death of her second husband, Lord Darnley, who was murdered. And it was also made worse by the fact that she had married the main suspect, Lord Bothwell.
And she had every right. She had
the
every
way
right.
that like I wrote this whole script without even having to fucking do anything. So after Mary's guilt was unproven in a trial in England, there was still the issue of her being a Catholic. England had become a Protestant country under the reign of Henry VIII, Elizabeth's dad. And Elizabeth was not thought to be a legitimate queen by her Catholic subject, which made Mary the rightful queen in their eyes. And it's also it is a view that Mary very much shared. Like, she seen Elizabeth as illegitimate. Like, she thought Catholics should rule. Because of this threat, Elizabeth would, and her, like, lords, would keep Mary imprisoned in noble houses in England for the remainder of her life. Between 1578 and 1584, Mary wrote 57 ciphered letters. These were mostly addressed to Michel de Castelnau, the French ambassador to England. At the time, Mary was in the custody of the Earl of Shrewsbury. One of Mary's letters, written in 1586, which was not part of this cache of 57, would eventually spell Mary's doom. One of Elizabeth's spies, Sir Francis Walsingham, tricked Mary into believing that her letters were secure, and he intercepted one supporting Elizabeth's assassination in what would become known as the Babington Plot. I briefly mentioned this in Mary's episode. I didn't really want to talk about her as like a plotting royal because I kind of wanted to make her a wee bit more human, but like this has certainly gone on, like she's no innocent.
She was playing the game.
And she was playing the Game of Thrones. I love that. So as a result of this letter, Mary would be beheaded for treason in 1587. So where did Mary learn to write this code? This kind of cipher she was writing was known as a French cipher, as I said, and she would have been taught it in her childhood in
France.
In France. It's the French kind of ciphers, you're right in that it is like shorthand, and it was used by French royalty for hundreds of years. And many people in France, I assume, but a famous figure that probably used it would have been Louis the 16th. He used it, like,
is that the one
up.
That was killed?
Yeah, got his head chopped off.
Yeah.
Marie Antoinette's husband, I believe, is Louis the 16th.
Let them eat.
The Bourbon royals, like, used it as well. This was also used heavily by Mary's mother, Mary de Guise, during her regency, and Mary Guise knew the importance of playing her cards close to her chest, especially as she was governing the quickly reforming Scotland as a French Catholic woman.
I love her.
Little did Mary of Guise know, though, that the Scottish Protestant nobles had actually been using the spymasters of England to crack her code. But she kind of got away with it. But they kind of knew, like, every move that she was making because they were intercepting her letters, basically. This news story is, like, relevant, and I had to do it right now because it's actually been in the news. It's been, like, one of the most breaking news stories today with Mary, Queen of Scots, in, like, hundreds of years, basically.
Since she got her head chopped off.
Yeah, basically. George Lasry, a computer scientist.
George Glass! I certainly haven't heard of George Glass at our school, Jan.
So, George Glassry, a computer scientist and cryptographer from France, Norbert Biermann, a pianist and music professor for Germany, and Shutoshi Tomioko, I think, a physicist and patents expert for Japan, were combing through the archives of the Bibliothèque Nationale when they came across pages of ciphers mixed in with documents for Italy dating to the 1500s. So this is like a ragtag, well, no ragtag, they're like professional
the
smart guys. they're like, as a hobby,
the Da Vinci
code. They're like,
it's literally
Da Vinci code. They're like, what's his name? I'm like literally reading the books right now. John Langdon, that's his name.
Who plays him in the film?
Tom Hanks in a horrible wig.
I was going to say, is it Tom Hanks? Because I can never remember which one's Nicolas Cage and which one's Tom Hanks, which one's National Treasure and which National one's the Da Vinci Code.
National Treasure's better. I did watch last night, I watched the second film of the Da Vinci Code. I think it's the first book, though, in the series,
the Angels and Demons.
Yeah. Much better film than the Da Vinci Code. Yeah. So bad. The Da Vinci Code's Apple.
Well, it's bad that... like the Da Vinci Code is comparable to National Treasure when National Treasure is a Disney movie, and yeah. then the Da Vinci Code is like based on like one of the best series of books.
It's a fun book to read, but the Da Vinci Code itself is all about like the divine feminine and like women should have a bigger place in society because Jesus was married to a woman and blah blah blah.
Wait, maybe
it doesn't pass the Bechdel test. In fact, two women didn't even speak to each other. At the end, two women meet and one of them is silent.
And they just go, mm-hmm.
Basically, it's like,
I came as soon as I heard.
I came as soon as I heard you were the airy Jesus. Anyway, that rant aside. So this group of guys are decoding these documents that they found. And the ciphered letters were believed to be Italian. But as the researchers began to crack the code, they realised that the deciphered words would have to have been in French for them to make sense. The letters used what is known as a homophonic cipher. In such a code, each letter of the alphabet is replaced with a particular symbol, kind of like shorthand. Well, exactly like shorthand.
Yeah, that sounds like it.
Yeah, I used to know how to do shorthand, and if you put a gun to my head, it would be lights out. Like an actual candidate anyway. I can do the alphabet. So a simple substitution cipher is easy to crack because certain letters such as E are repeated quite a lot. So if that symbol comes up a lot, it's E. These ciphers use multiple symbols interchangeably for like letters and words that are repeated quite a lot, like and or E or A. Mm. But to further complicate things, Mary's cipher also used dedicated symbols to replace high-frequency words. So she came up with her own series of symbols to represent, like, the name of the French ambassador, her son, Scotland, etc.
Wait, that's cool.
Lassery says, and quote, "Working on the decryption was like working on an onion that you needed to peel. The cipher was quite complex and we worked in stages, so they went through it really, really slowly. The truth of the letters came out a little at a time. First, there was the realization that they weren't in Italian. Then came the discovery of French phrases such as ma liberté, which suggested that the writer desired freedom. Then there was the repetition of my son. And finally, a telltale name popped out, which was Walsingham, Queen Elizabeth's spy master. Ooh. Most of these 57 letters had never been seen before Lassery and his colleagues' discovery, but seven of the letters that Walsingham intercepted, mm-hmm. Ophie Mary, and they were part of the Babington plot, they were kept in the National Archive in the UK. So they got copies for the National Archive in the UK and compared them to the 57 letters they had, and then it was confirmed that these 57 letters were for Mary Queen of Scots. Ooh. In these newly decoded letters, Mary frets over her health, tries to get the French ambassador to make requests to Elizabeth on her behalf, and raises her suspicions that ongoing negotiations over her freedom may not have been happening in good faith. The letters are largely diplomatic, with little sense of Mary's personal feelings. Much of the content of the letters is also about the wider issues of diplomacy, rather than try to reclaim the throne of Scotland or make a play for the throne of England. So anything that is happening politically in England or Scotland or in wider Europe, like, she's aware of it and she's commenting on it. It's no like she's constantly thinking like, when am I going to get my throne back?
Me.
It's no like that. One historian, Susan Doran, said this, quote, "She's negotiating with the Spanish, with the French, evident in these letters, with Scotland and with Elizabeth. It really does deepen our sense of Mary as a political animal, not just a captive queen. There's much more to Mary than just plotting, like everybody else thinks."
Yeah, we said that. We said that weeks ago, actually.
Mary also wrote about her concern over her son James's abduction and imprisonment when he was a young boy, saying that she felt that they had been betrayed and abandoned by France. I think we spoke about when James got abducted either in his episode or in the North Berwick witch trials.
Yeah, I feel like it was the North Berwick witch trials. I remember it being earlier than his episode.
Yeah, but basically he's like imprisoned by either like a power hungry lord or a Protestant noble and is like basically about to get dethroned, but he doesn't, obviously. She also complains about her mistrust of Walsingham, and it's really apparent in the letters that she thinks he's up to no good. Perhaps she could have focused on that a little bit more because he does actually eventually end up intercepting letters where she is obviously guilty as fuck, wanting to be involved in an assassination plot against Elizabeth. So,
once
I mean, she
again,
had her wits about her.
Once again, it's literally just an exact verbatim plot to Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Like, so
really, like, George R.R. Martin just looked at, like, the Tudor line and the Stuart line and went, I'm gonna.
That sounds about right. That sounds realistic.
So Lassery says that there's 50,000 words worth of content in these letters and they've barely scratched the surface. So there's enough for there to be like groundbreaking new books about Mary Queen of Scots. And I think over the next couple of years, we'll
we're being kept
see them.
In business, baby. We're being
she's
kept
keeping
in
the lights on. Mary Queen of Scots in the Western Isles. Thank you
so much. These are our sponsors.
And also, like, a guy, Antonia Fraser, whose book I read for the Mary Queen of Scots series, I haven't seen any quotes with her, but there's another historian who wrote a quite an award-winning novel in the early 2000s about Mary's life. He said that this is the biggest piece of news about Mary Queen of Scots that's at least happened in the last 100 years, and it's like a huge historical moment for Scotland. Like, you should, like, if you do Google Mary Queen of Scots codes, like, everybody, like, the New York Times to the Guardian, everybody's wrote about this. So I think this is quite a short episode. Yeah, they've actually wrote about it. The Daily Mail have wrote about it as well. Obviously, this is quite a short episode, and I apologise, but I was actually too fucking excited to not talk about this. So that's been our wee episode on Mary Queen of Scots. Probably will be the last one. I did say that once before, but...
Until another code gets cracked, at least.
Imagine being one of the folk being like, oh my god, this is Mary Queen of Scots. They said they were so fucking excited when they... Because obviously everybody knows who she is. And they were like, this sounds like it's Mary Queen of Scots, guys.
Oh my god.
me reading the news. The amount of like folk that listen to this podcast who actually sent it to me and went, Rebecca, by the way, like, this is... So thank you everyone who sent me that.
They were right to do so.
I was gonna just make a post about it on like Instagram or something. I was like, nah, actually, I need to tell the world. I need to be the first podcaster.
Yeah, I think we were the first podcasters to speak about it. No, there's probably like a maths podcast or something.
There's probably a breaking news podcast like The Guardian's like Daily Bite or something that's done it.
They have there's podcasts for that, like
for
News
the Daily
Round.
News, aye.
Just go to News Round then. Does News Round have a podcast? You know, CBBC.
I don't know, cause is CBBC not getting cancelled?
What?
I didn't mean like cancelled.
That's Tory party austerity for you.
I mean, actually off the air, like they're gone.
Cost of living crisis for you. Can't keep the lights on anyway.
Nah. Anyway, on that note, we're just normal men. We're just innocent men.
We're just innocent men. That actually cracks me the fuck up. We're just normal men.
We're just innocent men. Anyway, if you want to buy merch, you can find it at thecreepyweepodcast.co.uk. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter. You can what they are. And we'll be back on time next time, I swear to God. Bye.
Guess who's back? Back again. Mary's back. tell your friend.
What if it heads will roll?
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.